You musicians, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16 for our Thanksgiving message in the year of our Lord 2024. We have so much to be thankful for. I turn to a song of David when the ark returned into Jerusalem, and it was a thrilling day in the nation, in the history of the nation. And they had a lot to give thanks for, as we do on this day. I'll be reading verses 31 through 36 of 1 Chronicles 16. If you're able to stand for a reading from the Word of the Lord, please join me in standing as I read. And I'll be reading from the King James Version this morning. These are the words of the Lord. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he comes to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. This is the reading of God's word. Join me in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Adam and Eve didn't fall down on their knees after the fall, after their great fall, and beg for a Savior. They didn't say, oh, we're sinners and we need you to save us. Would you send Jesus? They ran from you, and you ran after them. And we say, the goodness of God runs after us. Thank you. We have much to be thankful for. I'm not going to downplay the pain of illness or families that are not what we want them to be. It's very painful. But Lord, this affliction that we endure on earth shall pass away in a coming day. And it will appear to be a light affliction. But today we have a day where we can set aside everything to look up and to give you praise and to give you honor. And I'm completely unworthy of the task of stating what David said so articulately. I can't wade into this and improve upon it. But Lord, I pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word as you did the singing of these hymns, the beautiful music this morning. Bless, speak to hearts by the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we do have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? And I sometimes think when I read David's words, I'm reminded that our focus needs to be always on the Lord and the good things that he has done. Because if we focus on man, oh, are we in for trials and tribulation. Get our eyes up today on this week of Thanksgiving here in the blessed United States of America. So many times in church, we focus entirely too much on I, me, mine, mine. It's like someone singing do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, di, do. They're singing that, and they get stuck on that third note. Do, re, mi, me, 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 me.
we can do that. And people want to find a church that suits me and things that suit me and things that help me and me, me. And we tell the gospel, that what's the gospel story? God loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me. Now, there's nothing wrong with that gospel message. It is true. But God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son that when we who are non-worshippers turn to Christ and become worshipers, it becomes, our story becomes, like Stella told a moment ago, nothing about me. If I contribute anything, I make a mess of it. It's all about him. God loved him. There was a church in Revelation known as the Laodicean church in Revelation 3:15 through 17 says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And you do not know you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We don't want to be the church in Laodicea that's focused upon what I am and how rich I am and how well I do this. And don't you know I'm all about this? Has nothing to do with me and everything to do, as I read a moment ago, with him. Keep our eyes on the Lord. A renewed respect and focus on God is desperately needed in this generation. Proverbs 9:10 says, a reverent fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom. Imagine that. Psalm 147:11. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him and in those that hope in his mercy. And so I want to go through this story with you this morning. It's a story that I'm saying, there's a story being told by the heavens. Verse 31. Very first half of 31. Half of the verse. A story being told in the heavens. There's a story being told by the hills, the trees, the fields, the mountains, everything, the oceans. There's a story being told by the heavens. There's a story being told by the hills. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's lastly a story being told by our homes. As we turn in a personal way and it says, I will give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and the word will come out of my mouth. Amen. Amen. May it be so. Amen. First, let's look at the story being told, the praise of God, the thanks of God being held right now as I preach. At this very moment, there's something going on in the heavens. We're told that in 31, the first half. Let the heavens be glad. I'll stop right there. Let the heavens be glad. Let all that goes on above us in an unseen world praise the Lord nonstop, wall to wall, 24/7, never ending, never tiring of praising the Lord. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the heavens are alight this very moment with shouting and thanking the Lord in heaven above. The sheer size of heaven, the heavens above us, not just our galaxy, there are billions of galaxies around us. The sheer size of the scope of these few economy of words that I'm reading put us on our face, that not only the world that we know, but the worlds that we will never know. You say, why are those worlds even created? Why are there galaxies out there that we will never see? Why are there galaxies out there that we will never know anything about? Those galaxies are created to declare the glory of God in the heavens above. They're not created for me to know. They're created for Him to rejoice and be glad and thrilled in them. The sheer size of this universe in which we live declares the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens are declaring the glory of God right now while I speak these things. We sing, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Now, when we get to heaven, we will rejoice. Hey, I say we can start rejoicing right now. On this day of the Lord, in this year of the Lord, we can turn away from everything that's going on in our world. I will not let the heavens rejoice louder than I rejoice. I've got more to rejoice about than anyone. Hundreds of billions of galaxies and billions of stars. Isaiah tells us that story. The curtain is pulled back. The year that King Uzziah died, he mourns the loss of that glorious king that had been there for 52 years, on the only king he had ever known in his life. He is moaning and groaning. The curtain is pulled back when he enters the temple. And I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the temple was filled with His glory, and His garment filled, wrapped around the train of His glory, just filled this whole thing. And there were angels, six winged, unlike any winged thing we had ever seen, two covering their eyes, two covering their feet, because created glory is completely humbled in the presence of uncreated glory. And they are singing, holy, holy, holy. You say, how long does that song go on? There are people say, you know, those kids over there, they're singing the same 7-Eleven, same seven words, they're singing it 11 times. It just kind of gets under my nerves, that 7-Eleven thing. They're singing it over and over. Holy, 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 never stops. It runs night and day, 24/7, around the clock. And it is the same song, the same chant, the same words, and it will never get tiring. You will never become exhausted by it. You will never be put off by it. You will join in that refrain and sing it over and over and over throughout eternity. The heavens declare the glory of God. The angels have no trace of sin, yet created holiness cries, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Heaven's worship. What will it be like to worship in heaven? I cannot imagine for even a moment the splendor of what lies before us and awaits us when we leave this life to enter the next. There will be gleaming streets of gold that is so pure it is transparent gold. There will be walls around us with jewels, some of which I've never seen and never heard of, that are going to flash and sparkle and shine. There will be a river. There will be the throne of God. There will be the heavenly angels that will throngs of angels, not just merely 1, 2, 3, a number you can't even count this high. There will be millions of saints all around us. And all of a sudden, you know, being a Baptist or being a Methodist or being a Presbyterian or being what, a Catholic or Assembly, it won't matter. We'll be together. There'll be people from every language, many languages, countries I've never heard of, languages I've never heard speak. We will all be gathered together around the throne of God declaring His glory. Amen. It's going to be amazing. They say this day and night, we can do that and more. I will not let heaven outpraise me. And I ask that you not let heaven outpraise you. You know, God sent His Son to die for sinners. He did not send His Son to die for angels, sinners. Now, if the angels can sing, I'm going to outsing an angel. God did not send His Son to die for the birds. I woke up this morning, I hear birds singing. He did not send His Son to die for birds. He loves the birds. He watches over them. He is sovereign over them. There's not a sparrow that falls that He is not keenly aware of. But He did not send His Son to die for the sparrows. And they sing. He sent His Son to die for sinners. I think I can outsing the birds. I think I can outsing the angels. It says the heavens. Let the heavens be glad. And they are glad today. Not only are the heavens alive with thanksgiving. We're entering a Thanksgiving week. People say, I don't have anything to be thankful about. It's your turn at the table. What do you have to thankful about? I don't have anything to be thankful about. Please pass me on to the next person. I don't have anything to be thankful about. God does 10,000 glorious things in your life every single day. Do you even think, can you not even think of one or two of those things? Not only are the heavens lit up with praise to God, the hills are alive with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. It reads this way at the end of 31. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the created sea, let the sea roar, the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing at the presence of the Lord, because He comes to judge the earth. Psalm 19 begins, the heavens declare the glory of God. And then it goes on to say, the firmament shows His handiwork. Day after day uttereth speech. Night unto night there's knowledge. The sun comes out of His chamber like a bridegroom on his wedding night, declaring, singing praises to the Lord in heaven above, wanting us to know about His goodness. Let the sea, let it not whisper. The sea is not going to whisper. The sea is going to roar. The sea is not going to be some sort of a boring, come out with a boring testimony and say, well, let me whisper to you what the Lord. The sea is going to shout these things. And the sea is going to declare these things. And the preachers of the field, the trees of the field. I'm a minister of the gospel. The trees are preaching every day, every night. Whether you look at the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Arctic Ocean, those seas are roaring waves that sound not like a little kitten's meow. The seas are roaring like a lion, saying, to God be the glory, great things He has done. Whatever ocean you find yourself looking at and standing on the shores of, those oceans are telling the same message about the goodness and the glory and the grace and the mercy of God in heaven above. And they are busy day and night, wave after wave, roaring thankfulness to their Creator in heaven above. And creation tells the story of not a weak testimony, it's a glorious testimony. A God of power and a God of wisdom and a God of kindness. A great God. That's who He is. Great. He's great. That's what He is. The world and the Word are wonderful witnesses to the goodness of God. Abraham Kuyper, the old Dutch theologian, said, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, "Mine." I'll read it again. There is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, "Mine." The trees, the oceans roar. The trees sing of the goodness of God. All of creation, not just us human beings, all of creation. Whether I step out the front door and I look to the left at the beauty of the mountains to the left of our entrance, or look to the right to the forest, or whether I'm crossing Kansas and see the wheat fields blowing in the wind, or I look up and I see the canopy of clouds or the clear blue sky over, or I watch the moon at night or the sun during the day, they're all singing same song, same verse, glory to God. That's what he says. I'm just telling you what he says. He says, let the oceans roar, let the trees of the forest sing. For what? Are they sad? For the joy, their joy before the Lord, praising their King, praising their Creator, praising their Sovereign, praising their God. And yes, there's this sense of which creation groans under the weight of the fall of Adam and Eve. But he says they're singing for joy on this day for his coming to the earth to judge. He's coming to judge. Say the second coming.
Honey, I didn't expect him to speak on the second coming this morning.
David said he's coming. The second coming is not just a New Testament. Wow, wow, wow. The Old Testament is lit up with the idea that there is a king, there is a judge, there is a sovereign who is coming to earth to judge this world, to gather his saints safely home, and to put into full submission all that rebel against him, so that there will be no more wars. China, lay it down, it's over. Russia, put it away. The USA, stop it already. He's coming to judge the earth. He's coming to judge and put disease and death and divorce and drugs and illness and rebellion in whatever shape, whatever form, however it shakes out of the bag. He's coming to put an end to it once and for all. The second coming is noted. Let the seas roar. Let the trees sing for joy. He's coming. Are you ready for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your spiritual house in order today? That if, and it's as though in this text it is saying he is coming imminently. It's as though this text he is saying he is coming. He is coming right now. He's coming. Like Gabriel has stood, his horn is to his lips, waiting for the signal. Blow that horn. He's coming. The Old Testament saints said, he's coming. The New Testament saints said, he's coming. That is the next thing on the prophetic calendar, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. And David says, we give thanks that he's coming. We give praise that he's coming. The oceans are talking about it. The trees are talking about it. I said a moment ago, I'm not going to be outdone by the angels in heaven. I'm not going to be outdone by the oceans. I double dog dare the trees of this world to outdo us. How dare you?
For Christ sent his Son to die for sinners. We outpraise everything, everyone, everywhere. We praise the Lord. It's as though the hounds of heaven have been set loose already. He's coming. Lastly, beyond the heavens and beyond the hills, let's go home. In the text that is before us in 34, 5, and 6. The heavens praise, the hills praise, our homes, our hearts praise the Lord. It says it this way in 34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. She said, what is my heart going to say? Doesn't the Lord know what I'm going through right now? We are not trivializing pain. It's real. Pain is real. The most real thing in all the world is to praise God. That's most real. He says in 34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We heard about that in song. Wonderful job. His mercy endures forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. We must not let the heavens and the hills give more thanks than our hearts, our homes, our house. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. How good? How good? He is good at a level I am incapable of communicating to you today. He's great. How great? I am incapable of telling you just how great he is. For anything I say, he can overplay that by spades in his greatness. He is glorious, good, powerful. How powerful? I can't even begin to tell you how powerful. He has created everything that we said in those first few words, the heavens. He did it like seconds. He created billions of galaxies in seconds. You say, well, he came out the seventh day. He was exhausted. He had to rest. It takes no more power for him to create billions of galaxies than it does for him to create a butterfly. His power is so vast and so glorious and so good. That's our God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good at a level we cannot imagine. His mercy is eternal. That means it will never end. It will go on forever and ever and ever. There's no end to this insight. There will never be an end in sight. It will go on glory, glory, glory without end forever and ever. How about that? You say, well, I don't know. I mean, really? Seems like you're kind of worked up. You're kind of worked up there, aren't you, preacher? Paul would say, whether you do the most mundane things on earth, whatever you do, whatsoever you do, whether you eat, it's the most mundane thing. It's the most common thing that we do. Whether you eat or whether you drink, I mean, if you want to get down to rudimentary things, first principle things, things that I do every day, hardly without thought, whether you eat or whether you drink, do all to the glory of God. All of it to his glory. The most frequent command in the Bible. They say, what's the most frequent command in the Bible? Praise the Lord. That is the most repeated, most frequent command in all of Scripture. Praise ye the Lord, for He is good. God wants you to maintain and protect an attitude of thanksgiving. We're heading into Thanksgiving. Here we go. Ready or not? Buckle up. We're getting ready. Great banquet planned after this service. Hope you can stay. Want you to stay. Plenty to eat. I think they've killed every turkey in Taney County to make this thing possible. So let's go. We want you to be thankful. We're heading into Thanksgiving week. You say, how do I head into Thanksgiving week? You don't know my family. You don't know my pain. You don't know. Protect your thankfulness. Protect your joy. Protect your soul. Paul would tell the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, moan and groan. That's not what he said. In everything, wear a chip on your shoulder and be easily angered. That's not what he said. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is guidance for good days and for tough days, this text. David is not trivializing our pain. It's real. But he wants us to maintain a thankfulness and a joy. Maybe I could say it this way. Thanksgiving and joy, it's not really circumstance related on this earthly horizontal plane. Joy and thanksgiving is a spiritual condition. And you say, I have the joy of the Lord in my heart, given to me by the hand of God, that no one, no circumstance can take or rob from me. And we're told at the end, it ends this way. And all the people said, amen. Let me read it one more time. And all the people said, amen. That was David's song of thanksgiving. He said, the heavens, it's like we're having this, three choirs have joined together. There's the choir of heaven. There's the choir of the hills. There's the choir of our heart, giving thanks and praise to God. And when these three lights in the harbor line up, watch out. Give praise to Him. Now my question is, how, you say, I get it, the heavens are doing it. Check. I got the memo, the hills are doing it. How about that heart of yours? Is it giving due praise to God? If you've never accepted, it all begins with accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. That's where it begins. That's where the party starts. That's where the first song comes out and says, that's it right there. Come to Christ. I plead with you that Christ would be everything to you. That He died not for the angels, not for the birds. He died for sinners. To adopt us into His family through faith in His Son. If you're here this morning and you need to accept Christ, why not? On this pre-Thanksgiving Sunday, take care of that. There will be counselors here that will meet with you and pray with you, to work with you through that process, gladly with joy. If you're here today and you just need prayer, it says, I am being outpraised by the heavens, I lost. I'm being outpraised by the hills, I lost.
I'm being outpraised by my own heart. Maybe you just need prayer. Why don't you come for prayer today during our invitation? You may need a church home this morning. As I said in the baptismal waters, church, come home. Let's go to church. Come home and have a church home and a pastor and brothers and sisters in Christ. You can serve Him. You can worship Him. You can go through this place. Let's pray together. And all the people said, amen, and they praised the Lord. What a great song of thanksgiving David gave us, Lord, as we celebrate 2024 Thanksgiving at Friendly Baptist today. We'll not be outpraised by the heavens. We don't want to be outpraised by the hills. May our heart sing your praises. Lord, if there's one here without Christ, may they come to a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, today. May this be a day of salvation. If there are any here today that are needing the prayers of the saints, the prayers of a pastor, may they come this morning during this invitation time. If there are any today needing a church home, Lord, they need to not walk outside the church, but to walk inside the church. Lord, may they come home to Friendly Baptist today. Bless now as we sing, speak to hearts by the power of your Spirit. We love you, Lord. And we join with the saints that David wrote to in that day, amen, and praise Him. Bless during this song of invitation today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.